It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions, he has answers. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
This is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin, broadcasting from Studio 1E in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's first child's bedroom, east side of the house. Thanks for joining me today. I developed PEDcast to help parents navigate a myriad of parenting topics, ranging from the crib to the country club. In these PEDcasts, I express general observations and opinions that I've developed over a generation of pediatric practice and parenting. I am not providing medical judgments or advice. Now, as always, by listening to my PEDcast, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions listed on my website, docsmo.com. Let's talk kids with today's topic. Ooh, it's spring in the Carolinas. It's beautiful outside. Everything's turning so green and lush. We've got oak trees pollinating and tulip trees and lush grass and azaleas and dogwoods. It's just beautiful here. The earth is literally exploding with life. Why, go up on top of one of those big banks that Charlotte is noted for. Way up high, you look down and you say, whoa, there's nothing but trees here. I don't see any cars. I don't see any homes. I don't see any streets. I don't see any people. Does anybody really live here? Well, of course they do. And the question of today's podcast is, does all that biomass, does all those trees and grass and the like, does it affect us, and particularly our children? Well, the answer to that question is a resounding yes. It's like asking, does the water that fish live in affect the fish? Well, of course it does. Let's contemplate how your children's health interact with the environment around them, which is largely the study of allergy. In today's PEDcast, I hope to improve your understanding of the concept of allergy, what it is, and what you need to know. And we have a special guest who's going to be joining us by telephone from the British Isles. He's a regular listener. His name is Simon, and he has some questions that he is going to be asking with regards to the subject of children and allergy. Well, let's start today's discussion with a quick drive down one of my favorite streets, Science Lane. Now, if you think about it, our bodies need to know how to defend us from the outside world in order for us to survive. Appropriately responding to invading microbes and dusts and chemicals are absolutely essential to our survival. Well, that response that our body does is called our immune response, and it's the way we defend ourselves to the outside world. And the part of our body that does that is called our immune system. It's responsible for cleaning up messes, killing microbes, removing dusts and pollens, and the like. Well, in most situations, our body does a very good job of doing these things. But in some cases, our response, our immune response, is out of kilter. It's too brisk. It's too intense and begins to cause problems. Let's use the example of a bee sting. Let's say you're out with your child, and all of a sudden they get a bee sting. A bee injects their stinger, and along with the stinger comes some of the bee venom, which are proteins that actually are enzymes that can cause tissue damage localized to the skin of your child. Well, an appropriate response is for your child to have an immune response localized at the site of the injection. The venoms are inactivated, the venoms are localized in the subcutaneous tissue, and any microbes that happen to be injected that were on the bee or on your child's skin at the time of the injection are also being taken care of by your immune system right on the spot. But if your child's body cannot localize that response just to the site of the shot, or excuse me, the injection of the venom, and it becomes widespread throughout your child's body, all of a sudden, we got a dangerous situation. Your child is having a serious allergic reaction to the venom, and this can cascade into a life-threatening situation. The localized reaction was useful to your child, but when it starts to go all over the body, it becomes very dangerous. And that's what we call allergy. An immune response that's too brisk and actually begins to damage your child's health.
So like Doxmo, where in our bodies do we like have the most allergic reactions? Like for me, I have this wonky bit of skin in my left armpit. But I mean, is that even an allergic reaction or just like a misapplication of deodorant? I mean, how do you know if a reaction is an allergy?
Good question, Simon. Let's start with your first question. Where in our bodies do we have most of our allergic reactions? Your child will tend to have allergic reactions where they meet the outside world. And by that I mean where air touches them, that could be inside the nose or the eyes or the bronchioles, where food touches them, that would be inside the lining of their intestines, or where their skin touches things. In our nose, an allergic reaction is called hay fever. We all are familiar with that. In your child's bronchioles, we call that asthma. In your child's skin, we call it eczema, and in their little intestines, we call it food allergy. Now, as far as your second question, how do we know it's allergy? Well, a lot of times we really don't, especially in those really young children under 2 years of age, because they get a lot of colds, and the symptoms of colds and viral respiratory illnesses are almost exactly the same as allergy. If your child's nasal symptoms, cough and congestion, come in spells of 7 to 10 days with normal periods in between and not a lot of itch, that's probably a viral infection. But on the other hand, if the congestion just goes on and on and on, or the cough or the wheeze, and lasts for way longer than 10 days, and especially if there's itch and swelling involved, that's the hallmark of an allergic reaction. But to answer your question, usually kids have to be a little older before we can tell if they have allergy or whether they're having a viral illness.
Oh man, Doxmo, my little half pints itch like you would not believe. I mean, I bought stock in calamine.com. But are you saying that asthma, hay fever, food allergy and eczema are all the same thing because they look and smell very differently?
You bet, Simon. The allergic response is essentially the same in all the different locations. Allergists call this the allergic childhood march because the evolution of these symptoms in childhood tends to follow a predictable pattern. That is, in the very young children, it's eczema and food allergy that are most common. But as the same children begin to get older, the eczema and food allergy starts to fade, and sometimes here comes asthma and hay fever. You know, allergy localized in the nose and eyes and bronchioles. About 20% of the population of children have some allergic response that is classified as allergy. But fortunately, usually it's on the milder side, and most do not suffer all these different forms of allergy.
Oh man, Doxmo, you got me worried. Is there anything I can do to prevent an allergy in my little half pint?
Simon, I'm surprised at you. You're a regular listener. Didn't you hear my podcast entitled What's Up with All the Children with Allergies that I posted in March of this year? go back and give it a listen. Fascinating stuff. In a nutshell, allergy may be an unfortunate mixture of genes and an unusually clean artificial environment that children are growing up in today. Children today may be reacting to things that 50 years ago would never have bothered their great-grandparents. Go back and listen for a little more detail on that one.
So, Doc Smo, why is it called hay fever and not hay like itchy eyes or hay runny nose or hey, I'm going to cough up a bunch of gross stuff on you?
Sharp question, Simon. I can only guess, but I imagine the reason has to do with what was probably a common event 100 years ago. Well, imagine it was fall, back on the farm, and the hay had been cut and been put in the barn. And your farmer, Farmer Jones, who, by the way, is an allergic person, he one day walks into that barn full of hay, and all of a sudden, he starts having this intense response of congestion, sneezing, eyes watering. He may have even started wheezing. Well, being the brilliant farmer that he was, he realized immediately that it was something in that barn that was making him sick. So he gets out of the barn right away. But unfortunately, his congestion and his other symptoms don't stop there. They keep going on for days. And unfortunately, a few days later, Farmer Jones begins to get sick. He gets a fever. He feels very tired. He has sinus pain. This nasty stuff starts coming out of his nose. And he gets a full-blown sickness that can last for weeks or even months. Hence the name hay fever. First comes the allergic response to the hay when he walked in. Then comes the secondary infection, bacteria growing, and all that copious stagnant mucus in his nose and sinuses. Now, you remember that Doc Smo Pearl from a PEDcast of long ago? The PEDcast was called Your Child's Next Ear Infection, Step by Step. Very good podcast, by the way. Well, my Doc Smo Pearl for that one was rivers that don't flow are nasty. Well, the same principle goes for the nose and the sinuses. And that means that mucus that sits in your sinus or nose without constantly moving and flowing just becomes infected, pure and simple.
So, Doc Smo, me as a parent, what do you want me to take away from this podcast?
Okay, Simon, let's break it down for you. Exposure to dirt, animals, and vegetation early in life may reduce a child's chance of developing an allergic disease. You know, growing up on a farm, wallowing a little bit in the mud, being around animals, this may have a beneficial effect on a child's chance of developing allergy. But unfortunately, much of the allergic response is genetic and out of a parent's control. You cannot change somebody's genes. Now, recognizing that a lot of things are allergic and treating them appropriately can be very helpful. Once an allergy develops, avoiding or limiting the exposure to allergens, those are the things that trigger off allergy, can also be very helpful. Now, as far as food allergy and sting allergy and bronchial allergy go, all of these can be really life-threatening and nothing for a parent to mess around with. Get some help if your child has any one of these forms of allergy. Now, as far as hay fever, keeping that river of mucus flowing in your child's nose should keep their little nose healthier. Washing with nasal saline can be your best defense against those nasty waters we call sinus infections. I want to thank you, my audience, for joining me today, and I want a special thanks to my guest listener, Simon from London, England, a.k.a. Laura Nell Parnell, for excellent questions today. Hopefully that discussion sheds a little more light for you on the subject of allergy. Now, if you like this PEDcast format, check out my website, docsmo.com, or subscribe to the feed on iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter, and be notified when any new content's put on. Go back and listen to some old casts. There's a lot of good stuff there. This is cast number 46. As always, your comments are welcome, and please send them in. I love to hear your comments to my podcast. This is Dr. Paul Smolin, hoping your children's noses love the trees and rarely produce a sneeze. Until next time. This PEDcast would not be possible without the help of the following contributors: Ann Gesner for her editing assistance, Seth Jaffe for providing inspiration and guidance, Dr. David Jaffe for allowing us to use his voice for the introductory voiceover, Dr. Robert Beezer for composing this fantastic bumper music, which is performed by two phenomenally talented young musicians, Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof. Sarah the Wizard Smolin and Ben Smolin for their production assistance. And special thanks to the talented Laura Nell Parnell for providing her international vocal renditions. Thanks, guys.